This audio is brought to you by MuslimCentral.com.
أعوذ بالله من الشيطان الرجيم. وإن الله ربي وربكم فاعبدوه هذا صراط مستقيم. فاختلف الأحزاب من بينهم فويل للذين كفروا من مشهد يوم عظيم. أسمع بهم وأبصر يوم يأتوننا لكن الظالمون اليوم في ضلال مبين. وأنذرهم يوم الحسرة إذ قضي الأمر وهم في غفلة وهم لا يؤمنون. إنا نحن نرث الأرض ومن عليها وإلينا يرجعون.
واذكر في الكتاب مريم إذ انتبذت من أهلها مكانا شرقيا.
إنما يسرناه بلسانك لتبشر به المتقين وتنذر به قوما لدا.
بسم الله والحمد لله والصلاة والسلام على رسول الله. الحمد لله حمدا يوافي نعمه ويكافئ مزيده، وصلى الله على سيدنا محمد وعلى آله وصحبه أجمعين. اللهم علمنا ما ينفعنا وانفعنا بما علمتنا وزدنا علما يا كريم. رب شرح لي صدري ويسر لي أمري وحل العقدة من لساني يفقه قولي. رب زدني علما، رب زدني علما، رب زدني علما. اللهم لا سهل إلا ما جعلته سهلا وأنت تجعل الحزن إذا شئت سهلا. Welcome all to another episode of Embracing Quran, as we are discussing the story of Isa alayhi salam, which offshoots from the story of Maryam alayhi salam, in the surah of Maryam alayhi salam. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala said, as he continues to quote Isa alayhi salam whilst he's speaking in the cradle to the people of Maryam, he says, وَإِنَّ اللَّهَ رَبِّي وَرَبُّكُمْ فَاعْبُدُوهُ هَذَا صِرَاطٌ مُسْتَقِيمٌ. Indeed, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is my Lord, وَرَبُّكُمْ, and He's also your Lord. فَاعْبُدُوهُ, so worship Him, i.e. alone. هَذَا صِرَاطٌ مُسْتَقِيمٌ. This happens to be the sirat, the path, which is extremely straight. Now notice that he starts off in certain things, you know, he's being very, very emphatic, as a very child, as a baby, literally, you know, a child in a cradle who Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala miraculously allowed to speak. He's speaking to people literally in a very emphatic way, meaning he's emphasizing on a number of things. If you notice all of the qualities that he gave, many of which allude to the fact that he's a human being and he's not a god, such as the fact that he's Abdullah, he's a slave of Allah, such as the fact that he'd been granted the book, such as the fact that he's a prophet or will be made one, such as the fact that he's Mubarak, i.e. he'll be a teacher for the people, such as the fact that he's been given commandments to pray salah, to give zakat till the day he dies, such as the fact that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has made him dutiful to his mother, such as the fact that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has not made him tyrannical, nor has Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala made him miserable, such as the fact that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has placed peace upon him in this life, when he's born, when he'll die, and when he'll be resurrected. In all of those, he's being very emphatic by saying, Inni, indeed I. Okay? Why? Because Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala had already understood, of course, because Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala's knowledge is infinite, that there will be people who will deny these realities. That Isa alayhi salam is in fact a slave of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala and not Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala himself. And when he comes to establish the lordship of Allah Azza wa Jal, he also says the same thing, that إِنَّ اللَّهَ رَبِّي وَرَبُّكُمْ. Indeed, right? You know, the word indeed is given in Arabic. The scholars of balagha or rhetoric, they say you don't say this to khalid dhihin. You don't say this to a person who doesn't have a preconceived notion that you're dealing with. However, if you know that there's a preconceived notion that you're trying to correct, and you know that this particular statement of yours will cause some controversy, you make it more emphatic so that already you're prepared to challenge the controversy that's going to be coming your direction. So he realizes that there's people who are against this idea of the fact that Allah is their Lord. إِنَّ اللَّهَ رَبِّي, Allah is my Lord, and Allah is your Lord as well. So he starts off by saying, وَإِنَّ اللَّهَ, indeed Allah, is رَبِّي, my Lord. Now, of course, he is more worthy of speaking on his behalf than he is on other people's behalfs. So he starts off by himself first. وَإِنَّ اللَّهَ رَبِّي. Indeed, Allah is my Lord. Now that it's established that he's my Lord, you know, I'm not trying to say over here that he's not your Lord. He's also your Lord. وَرَبُّكُمْ فَاعْبُدُوهُ. So worship him alone. None other than Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. هَذَا صِرَاطٌ مُسْتَقِيمٌ. This happens to be the straight path. This happens to be the path of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And this happens to be the path of all of the messengers, period. Every messenger that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala sent to any nation, they all said, Ani'budullah, that go ahead and worship Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Don't worship anyone other than Allah Rabbul Izzati wal Jalal. So he's doing the same thing. From the very beginning, he's saying that Allah is my Lord, Allah is your Lord, i.e. worship him and submit yourself to him, and that is the straight path, that's the path of all the messengers. But what happened next? فَاخْتَلَفَ الْأَحْزَابُ مِنْ بَيْنِهِمْ. What happened now is that people, you know, they might have agreed to him, some people, not all people. Some of the people may have agreed to him during his lifetime, but al-ahzab, the groups that came after Isa alayhi salam, even within Christianity, they started to dispute and they started to have all sorts of opinions about who Isa alayhi salam is and his relationship with Allah and so on and so forth, and how Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala should be perceived. So Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, he basically uses the fa over here, right, to skip a number of events, okay? Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is fast forwarding over here. This fa over here is literally fast forwarding to another event. Because Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala showed us the event in which Isa alayhi salam was still a baby in the cradles telling the people to worship Allah and don't worship anyone else, and the fact that is the straight path. Allah says, look, when he was a baby he was saying this, now that he's dead and he's gone, and now that all those events have finished, and now that people have thought him to be crucified and so on and so forth, اِخْتَلَفَ الْأَحْزَابُ مِنْ بَيْنِهِمْ. Groups, they are starting to differ from amongst them, Christianity. What are the differences? The differences were a number of differences. Some people, they started to say that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, that Nabiyuna, our Prophet, Isa alayhi salam, is Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala himself. That was one group of people. Then another group of people, they said that the Prophet Isa alayhi salam is the son of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Those were the Nestorian Christians, and those were the Christians that ended up making this claim that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is the son, that Isa alayhi salam is the son of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Ta'ala Allahu amma yaqulu adh-dhalimuna 'uluwan kabira. And some people, they started to say that there's three gods and not one God. They started to say that there is Allah as a God, and he's the only God to us, and he's the only real God. And they also said that Maryam alayhi salam is a goddess. And they said that Isa alayhi salam is the third God. So there's three of them. And then another group, they said there's three, but there's three that are in one. Three in one, one in three, okay? That's a very popular creed nowadays, the Creed of Trinity. And they said that there is God, the Father, and the Holy Ghost, right? So they started to define God like this in this trio mentality, or this Trinity mentality. And another group, they actually still adhered and continued to adhere to the pure monotheism, and said that in fact, rather, that the God that we should worship is just one God, there is no other gods. And that was a historical view within Christianity, and it remains still today within certain Christians who end up leaving the Trinitarian doctrine and so on and so forth. And reality is that the doctrine of Trinity was canonized in the Council of Nicaea a few hundred years after the death of Isa alayhi salam, and it wasn't a matter that was done, you know, in a very, very early part of Christianity. Or even if it was, it wasn't during the lifetime of Rasuluna wa Nabiyuna Isa alayhi salam. So Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala explains this particular phenomenon of Christians differing about the reality of God by saying, فَاخْتَلَفَ الْأَحْزَابُ مِنْ بَيْنِهِمْ. But Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala very uniquely shows to us that they are actually differing, they're differing, but their differences are actually from them. مِنْ بَيْنِهِمْ. It's not like they're sprouting from the niche of the prophethood, they are actually coming from them themselves, right? That's why Allah says, مِنْ بَيْنِهِمْ. These differences occurred from among them. They were not coming from Allah. They were not coming from the Prophet. They were not coming from the Prophet's, the niche of prophethood. They were coming from themselves. فَوَيْلٌ لِلَّذِينَ كَفَرُوا. So destruction be for those people who disbelieved. لا لَقَدْ كَفَرَ الَّذِينَ قَالُوا إِنَّ اللَّهَ ثَالِثُ ثَلَاثَ. Those people who said Allah is three of one, or Allah is the third of one, then those people have disbelieved. They've disbelieved. Saying such a claim is disbelief in Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And it's a shame that that in today's world, there are actually people who try to justify that belief from amongst those who affiliate themselves to Islam. They will make sorry attempts to try to say, well, you know what, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala considered them the Ahlul Kitab and this and that and the other, and other things that really have no basis to them. That's why I can't really even mention them, because there's no basis to what they're saying. And then they will try to use the baseless arguments of theirs to say that no, they're also believers, they are on a book. And so we say, yes, they're from Ahlul Kitab, they're on a book, but they have disbelieved in Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, because Allah told us of this in the Quran. لَقَدْ كَفَرَ الَّذِينَ قَالُوا إِنَّ اللَّهَ ثَالِثُ ثَلَاثَ. Those people who said Allah is one of three, they have disbelieved. Allah says, فَوَيْلٌ لِلَّذِينَ كَفَرُوا. So that destruction be for those people who have disbelieved in Allah. مِن مَشْهَدِ يَوْمٍ عَظِيمٍ. From the situation that they will be, from the mashhad in which they will be, they will witness this particular grand affair and event. يَوْمٍ عَظِيمٍ. A day which is very, very great. A day which is very, very serious. This is the day of judgment. I ask Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala to make our lives easier on the day of judgment. There are a number of ways to counter-argue the arguments of the Christians in this regard. Firstly, the fact that Isa alayhi salam was born, right? That's a pretty basic primary argument, that Isa alayhi salam was actually born. He was born, and we know that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala does not beget, nor is he begotten. And this is something that uqul, that intellects that haven't been tainted and twisted and corrupted, should understand, that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is the primary source of existence. So he's not going to be reincarnated, or he's not going to be brought into existence again. Rather, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala brings everything into existence. There's another important point, and that is that if we were to look at the reasoning that Christians give to say that Jesus alayhi salam or Isa alayhi salam is God, they'll say things like, well, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, your Lord himself, he says in the Quran that Isa alayhi salam said, وَأُبْرِئُ الْأَكْمَهَ وَالْأَبْرَصَ بِإِذْنِ اللَّهِ, that I end up curing the blind and the leprous by the leave of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. So if he's able to cure the blind, and if he's able to cure the leprous, then how do you say that he's not God? He's so powerful, he can cure the leprous and he can cure the blind as well. We'll say that is a miracle that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala had granted Isa alayhi salam, isn't it? And all of the messengers had been granted miracles, because one of the things that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala places along with prophethood is the idea of miracles. That's already granted by Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala to the prophets. Any supernatural affairs are given to the prophets as a testament to the fact that they're truthful. And there's no difference in that regard between Isa alayhi salam, and there's no difference in that regard between Musa alayhi salam, between Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wasallam, between those messengers which came before and those messengers which came after. All of them, every single one of them, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala had granted all of them miracles. In fact, the miracles that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala had granted to Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wasallam were a lot more, to a degree that some of the scholars, they ended up saying that every single miracle that was granted to any prophet prior to Prophet sallallahu alayhi wasallam, in one way or another, Allah gave the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wasallam that same miracle or something greater than that from that very angle, so that people recognize the fadila, the virtue of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wasallam above the rest of the creation. I ask Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala to grant us the tawfiq to practice, to convey. Please join us in the subsequent episode as we continue to discuss the story of Isa alayhi salam and the miracles that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala had given to the other prophets. Jazakumullahu khairan, wassalamu alaykum wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh.
كتاب أنزلناه إليك مبارك ليتدبروا آياته وليتذكر أولو الألباب. كتاب أنزلناه إليك مبارك ليتدبروا آياته وليتذكر أولو الألباب.
بسم الله الحمد لله والصلاة والسلام على رسول الله. الحمد لله حمدا يوافي نعمه ويكافئ مزيده, وصلى الله على سيدنا محمد وعلى آله وصحبه أجمعين. اللهم علمنا ما ينفعنا وانفعنا بما علمتنا وزدنا علما يا كريم. ربي اشرح لي صدري ويسر لي امري واحلل عقدة من لساني يفقهوا قولي. ربي زدني علما، ربي زدني علما، ربي زدني علما. اللهم لا سهل الا ما جعلته سهلا وانت تجعل الحزن اذا شئت سهلا. Welcome all to the continuation of the tafsir of Surah Maryam. We were discussing the miracles that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala had granted other prophets. So some of the miracles that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala had granted, for example, Musa alayhi salam, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala had allowed the shaft of Musa alayhi salam, or the staff of Musa alayhi salam rather, to turn into a snake. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala had allowed the ocean to split apart so that he may be able to cross. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala had given miracles also to Rasulullah Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. In fact, some of the scholars, they said Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala had given the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam over 1,000 miracles, as Ibn Salah mentioned. And the scholars of hadith and the scholars of seerah and so on and so forth, they've listed within their books literally numerous miracles of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. And the greatest of those miracles, of course, is the book of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, the Quran, which Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala had granted to us, ummatu Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, along with the rest of humanity as well. And some of the physical miracles that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala had granted the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam are many, including and not limited to the fact that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala allowed the moon to split. Amongst those miracles also is the fact that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala had allowed the idols to drop without the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam even touching them, as he pointed towards them around the Kaaba when he had conquered Mecca. And the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam had the trunk of the tree towards which he used to recline long for the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam after the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam had taken for himself a pulpit upon which he would give the khutbah. And the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam had been given literally miracles which cannot be enumerated, rather they're literally miracles in the hundreds, if not, as Ibn Salah said, in the thousands. So there's many miracles that the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, even in terms of cure. There was a person who had a problem with his ear. The Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, he wiped over his head and Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala corrected the sickness of the hair of this individual. Similarly, many of the du'as of the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam had been accepted, as the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam said about Ibn Abbas, that Allahumma faqqihu fi ddin wa 'allimhu at-ta'wil. Oh Allah, give him fiqh in understanding of the religion and also teach him the understanding of the Qur'an. He became the Habrul Ummah, the primary scholar of the Ummah. Similarly, he became the Tarjuman al-Qur'an, the one who translated the Qur'an for us, i.e. explained the Qur'an for us. And many, many du'as. Also prophecies of the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam which came true thereafter. So there's miracles that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has given, in fact, to all of the messengers. How then do you, O Christians, say that because Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala had given Isa alayhi salam, who is our prophet as well, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala had given him a certain miracle, or two or three or four or more or less, that is a sign that he is a god. All the prophets had been given miracle. Our father in religiosity and religion, Ibrahim alayhi salam, had been thrown into the fire. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala said, Ya narukuni bardan wa salaman ala Ibrahim. O fire, become cool, coolness, and also peace upon Ibrahim alayhi salam. Coolness, so it becomes cool. Peace, so it doesn't become too cold and he starts to freeze within that fire. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala allowed the fire literally to be room temperature for Ibrahim alayhi salam. So how then can we say that one of the prophets who had been given a miracle and all the other ones don't happen to be gods? That in fact is illogical. That doesn't make any sense based on any criteria of logic. And the reality is that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala said, that Isa alayhi salam said, Inni abdullah, I am a slave of Allah. Another reality is that Isa alayhi salam was made of a body, literally of flesh, literally of bones and so on and so forth. And no Muslim has ever said, and in fact, even within Christianity, they do not say that God is flesh and bones, right? And the fact that Isa alayhi salam was flesh and bones, that is a sign and a testament to the fact that he was a human being, because Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, as he describes himself, he says, لَيْسَ كَمِثْلِهِ شَيْءٍ وَهُوَ السَّمِيعُ الْبَصِيرُ, that there is no one like Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, and he is a sami', and he is the all-hearing, and he is the all-seeing as well. فَاخْتَلَفَ الْأَحْزَابُ مِنْ بَيْنِهِمْ. So the groups, they started to dispute and disagree. مِنْ بَيْنِهِمْ. فَوَيْلٌ لِلَّذِينَ كَفَرُوا مِنْ مَشْهَدِ يَوْمٍ عَظِيمٍ. So destruction be to the people who disbelieved, min mashhadi yawmin azim, from the the event that they would witness of a day which is very, very great, very, very severe, very, very serious. أَسْمِعْ بِهِمْ وَأَبْصِرْ. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says that on that day you'll see that they can hear very clearly, very sharply. أَسْمِعْ بِهِمْ. They're able to hear very clearly. وَأَبْصِرْ. And also they're able to see very clearly. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is expressing amazement over here to express the fact that it is literally an amazing matter or a very shocking and striking matter that over here within this life, they'd been given uqul, they'd been given intellects, but they couldn't understand the fact that Isa alayhi salam is flesh and bones and God is not flesh and bones. But now when they come on the Day of Judgment, you will notice that their sight work very well and their hearing, their ears work very well as well. يَوْمَ يَأْتُونَنَا. But this will happen on the Day of Judgment when they come to us. لَكِنِ الظَّالِمُونَ. However, those people who happen to be the ظَالِمُونَ, those people who happen to be transgressive individuals who transgressed against Allah Rabbul Izzati wal Jalal by worshipping other than Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, because ظلم is وضع الشيء في غير موضعه, and it's to place something in a spot where it's not supposed to be placed. So this mushaf is supposed to be raised. Were I to take this mushaf, may Allah protect me from ever doing such a thing, and place it on the floor or something like that, that would be the wrong place I would be doing ظلم, because that's not how Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has commissioned us and taught us to respect the signposts of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. وَمَنْ يُعَظِّمْ شَعَائِرَ اللَّهِ. Whoever ends up respecting and showing the respect to the شَعَائِر of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, the signposts of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, then that is considered مِنْ تَقْوَى الْقُلُوبِ. That is considered from the fear of the hearts, right? From the God consciousness of the hearts. So the point is then that ظُلْم is to place something where it's not supposed to be placed. When the Christians or any other religion, they end up placing the worship of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, or even those who adhere to Islam, they end up adhere and affiliate to Islam, they end up placing the worship of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala somewhere where it's not to be, then that is considered ظلم. And that's why Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, He told us on the tongue of Luqman al-Hakim that إِنَّ الشِّرْكَ لَظُلْمٌ عَظِيمٌ. That shirk in fact is a very, very severe type of ظلم, a very, very severe and grave and very, very, it's not a joke, it's a very severe type of transgression, because it's a transgression against Allah Rabbul Izzati wal Jalal. لكن الظالمون, rather the ظالمون, those people who are transgressive, those people who are oppressors, اليوم في ضلال مبين, they will be in a very, very severe loss. Okay, they used to pretend that they had direction within this life. Now, they will be in a very, very severe loss. And because of that, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, وَأَنذِرْهُمْ يَوْمَ الْحَسْرَةِ إِذْ قُضِيَ الْأَمْرِ. Warn them, O Muhammad, يَوْمَ الْحَسْرَةِ إِذْ قُضِيَ الْأَمْرِ. Warn them, O Muhammad, of the day of al-hasra. Warn them of the day in which they will have al-hasra, they will have all sorts of remorse now. Okay, they will be very, very remorseful. إِذْ قُضِيَ الْأَمْرُ, when the matter of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has already been decided, when the matter of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala in regards to those who worshipped other than Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has already been decided, when the matter of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala on how He will treat the believers has already been decided, when the matter of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala on how He will treat those who transgressed against Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala and crossed the boundaries that He had placed for worship, they will be treated. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has already decided all those things. وَهُمْ فِي غَفْلَةٍ. Whilst they used to be where? They used to be in heedlessness. Now this is very, very, you know, severely rhetorically powerful. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, وَهُمْ فِي غَفْلَةٍ. And they happen to be within غَفْلَة. They happen to be within they happen to be within heedlessness. Okay? You see, غَفْلَة is heedlessness. And you don't go inside of heedlessness. That's not what happens. But Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is describing how severely heedless they are. So He rhetorically uses this and metaphorically uses the fi. Many a times fi is used metaphorically, by the way, even though the meaning is already understood to the listener, but it's still a metaphor. And that is that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala rhetorically considers ghafla to be like a place, okay? It's almost like heedlessness is a location. You know, when you're inside of a location, when the door is shut, you're literally encompassed by this location. So they're so deep within their heedlessness that it's as if they've been encompassed within their heedlessness, right? They're so deep within that heedlessness. And that's why The reminders that you give, O Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wasallam, to them, they don't hear. That's why the reminders that Isa alayhi salam had given, that's why the miraculous birth of Isa alayhi salam, and that's why the fact that Isa alayhi salam came out and the first thing that was rendered through his words was Inni Abdullah, that I'm a slave of Allah. That's why even when they read clear ayat, signs within their own books which tell them that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is just one Lord as it's found within the Bible itself, they're not willing to listen. وَهُمْ فِي غَفْلَةٍ. Why? Because they're in a location which is full of heedlessness, which is as if heedlessness itself is a location. وَهُمْ لَا يُؤْمِنُونَ. And hence they don't end up believing in Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala continues to warn of the Day of Judgment and tell the Messenger sallallahu alayhi wa sallam to grant that warning. He says, إِنَّا نَحْنُ نَرِثُ الْأَرْضَ وَمَنْ عَلَيْهَا وَإِلَيْنَا يُرْجَعُونَ. Indeed, we are the ones who end up inheriting the earth. وَمَنْ عَلَيْهَا. And also everyone that is upon, who is upon this earth. وَإِلَيْنَا يُرْجَعُونَ. And towards us shall they also return. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala will inherit every single thing that you see, my dear brother, my dear sister, O dear listener. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala will inherit, meaning everything will be returned back to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. All of the people that are upon, وَمَنْ عَلَيْهَا, this earth as well. And we will be returning to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. I ask Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala to allow us to understand, inculcate, and believe in this reality so that we may act by the consequences of this reality and worship Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala alone, far away from polytheism, far away from associating partners with Allah, far away from considering a child for Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Jazakum Allahu khairan for listening. Wa sallallahu ala sayyidina Muhammadin wa ala alihi wa sahbihi ajma'in.
واذكر في الكتاب مريم إذ انتبذت من أهلها مكانا شرقيا
وهزي إليك بجذع النخلة تساقط عليك رطبا جنيا
فإنما يسرناه بلسانك لتبشر به المتقين تقين وتنذر به قوما لدا.